Revelation 6, beginning with verse 1. Now I watched when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals. And I heard one of the four living creatures say with a loud voice like thunder, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a white horse, and its rider had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he came out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And out came another horse, bright red. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth, so that the people should slay one another, and he was given a great sword. When he opened a third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a black horse. And its rider had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death. And Hades followed him, and they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence and by wild beasts of the earth. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Now, if we were getting ready to watch the Kentucky Derby, we would understand there's about 20 horses that run, or there are actually 20 horses that run the Kentucky Derby. However, we would probably be well aware of maybe 3 or 4 horses who would have greater odds than the rest. And we would be encouraged, watch these 4 horses. Doesn't mean they're the only horses in the race, but those are the 4 horses that really should have our attention because they're going to be there at the finish line. They're the realities that we need to have our eyes on. This morning, I want to encourage you, I want to help you to see the world for what it is. And you see the title of the sermon this morning up there in the upper right-hand corner of the outline in your bulletin, that life boils down to a 4-horse rodeo. Okay? And I want you to be thinking about that because life does boil down to a 4-horse rodeo. Again, last week we talked about the Lamb, how he was found to be worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals. And also how the 4 living creatures were there around the throne giving praise to God. Again, they're creatures. There's 4 of them. And as we talked about last week, they represent the created order. But in the 4 seals that we're talking about this morning, again, I want you to see every time one of the 4 living creatures says, "Come, come." And what is happening with each one of these 4 seals, with the horse, with the rider, is happening within the created domain as the living creature invites the horse and its rider to come. Again, there's 4 primary realities for us to see in life. Number 1 in the first seal is the advancement of the gospel. The advancement of the gospel. You look in verse 2. I looked and behold a white horse. And its rider, he had a bow. In chapter 19 verse 11. We're going to find another white horse. The one being seated on it is called faithful and true. It says, in righteousness he judges and makes war. We find also in verse 2 of our text that a crown was given to him. You look back in Revelation 2 verse 27. You find that Jesus said, I myself have received authority from my Father. So he goes out conquering and to conquer. You know, what I want you to see this morning is to consider what Jesus said as well in Matthew 24. So again, hopefully you've got it marked in advance, Matthew 24. But look in verse 14, where Jesus says in Matthew 24, 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. What is Jesus saying here? The gospel is going to go out into all the nations as a testimony, as a witness. This will take place. The gospel is unstoppable unto the ends of the earth. Jesus promises this in Matthew 24. And here in Revelation 6, we find a man on a white horse, a rider on a white horse, going out conquering and to conquer. Nothing will stop the gospel and its spread. Now, I have an article here from basically based on a Gordon Conwell report. I've talked a little bit about some of the information that is in this report. But again, where Christianity is growing the fastest today in terms of continent is Africa and Asia. They said in 1900, twice as many Christians lived in Europe than the rest of the world combined. Just think about this. In 1900, just 120 years ago, twice as many Christians lived in Europe than the entire world combined. Today, more Christians live in Africa than in any other continent. There's been a tremendous shift. There's been a tremendous spread in the last 120 years. Some are estimating by the year 2050, Africa could have more than 50% of the Christians in the world in Africa. The gospel is spreading. In 1900, only 5.5% of non-Christians could identify with a Christian they knew. In 1900s, most of the Christians were centered around major utopian Christian centers. So again, only about 5% of the world population in 1900 knew a Christian. Today, that number is approaching 20%. So again, we've quadrupled the number of people. They're saying in by 2050, 1 in 5 non-Christians will personally know a Christian and have the witness before them, a living witness before them to proclaim the gospel. You know, we need to understand the gospel is going out. Jesus promised in Matthew 24 that it would. We open up our Bibles in Revelation 6 and we find a horse and a rider who's going out and conquering and to conquer. This year, 90 million Bibles will be printed. In the year 2000, just 22 years ago, instead of 90 million, it was 54 million. Again, God's Word being advanced. I shared earlier how the fastest growing countries today, as far as Christianity, you know, it would be hard to guess. But the number one place, the number one country where the gospel is growing the fastest, where the church is expanding the most, is Iran. Iran. And you know what Iran is doing? Iran is sending missionaries into Afghanistan. And you know who the number two country in the world right now in terms of gospel spread is? Afghanistan. Two of the most difficult places to live in the world, and the gospel is advancing within them. You know, as a country, we have the largest military, the most powerful military ever. And we could not conquer, in a sense, we could not conquer Afghanistan. Today, we're battling Iran. But you know what's undermining the government right now in Iran and undermining the government right now in Afghanistan that has the political leaders in those countries scared to death that they're going to lose power? It's not the U.S. military, it's the gospel. Because the gospel conquers. And it's amazing when you think about the power of the gospel. So again, a rider on a white horse, gone out, conquering and to conquer. This gospel will prevail. And this is the good news. This is the good news. We come to verses 3 and 4 and we find the second seal. The second seal is the wreckage of conflict. I call it the wreckage of conflict. You look in verse 4 and we find a bright red horse. A bright red horse. Its rider was permitted to take peace from the earth so that people should slay one another. Seems like there's a song that talks about this, right? I bowed my head in fear and said, there is no peace on earth but hatred. When I conduct funerals, I'm always reminded, what is the most important thing in life? I believe this is the most important thing in life because this is what we talk about in funerals. Every time, every funeral, we talk about relationships. If you would sit down and write a eulogy about your life, you wouldn't talk about what you spend your life doing in terms of 50% of the time being work. You might throw in a single line that says, I worked at Subaru for 20 years, period. Most of your eulogy is going to be filled up talking about the relationships you've had. Your relationships with one another, your relationship with God. Isn't it interesting? The relationships would be attacked with conflict. Relationships are so important in life. And we have a horse here inflicting, ravaging conflict upon them. Upon relationships, upon our families, upon our societies, as they become divided and destroyed. We see this, do we not? I don't think there's a person in here who doesn't know what it is to have conflict and family, to be at odds with family. There's probably not too many married couples. In fact, I might say there's all married couples in here who knows what it is to have conflict in marriage, to have a marriage robbed of peace. What we see here is the fallenness of society, right? And the societal constructs. Consider what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 9 through 13. He spoke of this as well. Matthew 24, verse 9. Jesus said, then they will deliver you up to tribulation, put you to death. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Talking about being, again, persecuted or experiencing conflict because of the name of Jesus. Verse 10. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Verse 12. And because lawlessness will be increased. Can you imagine the day when lawlessness would be increased? The reality is it not? The love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. You know, there's certain times in life you just see news that just really grabs your attention. And I had one of those events. I think it was actually, might have been just Friday morning. I got on and opened up my news feed of choice, preference. I don't know if I'd say of choice, maybe a preference, being Fox News. And one of the top headlines had this article about a man named Rob Schenck, who is a chaplain with the Supreme Court. He's one who's been ministering to the Supreme Court justices. He knows them by name. He prays with them. He hears their concerns. He ministers to them. Rob Schenck. One of the top articles on Fox News, I think it was Friday morning or Thursday morning. Now, what's really interesting is I know Rob Schenck. I used to be ordained through Evangelical Church Alliance. I'm no longer ordained through them. He used to be the president of that organization. Rob Schenck sat in on my ordination interview with three other people and drilled me for about an hour and a half about my faith and about my beliefs in God. And here he is, one of the top articles of Fox News, national news. It seems Rob has turned away from the faith. He's promoting same-sex marriage. He's promoting abortion. He was testifying before some congressmen about how he knows for a fact there's Christians ministering to those justices because he once was one of them. It's a call to endurance. I dug into him a little bit. I thought, what in the world caused such a man that I looked forward to hearing him speak and preach? What would cause him to turn away? And it was interesting. It was the gun issue, the gun rights issue. He couldn't wrap his mind around it. The conflict, right? The lawlessness. These things are real. The struggle's real. The conflict is real. And what we have to understand this morning is this is something that just rages throughout the world. Rages throughout our community, our nation. We must not let our love grow cold. I have three things here, three realities. Number one, there will always be victims where peace is lacking. You know, troubled individuals are threats to others. It's just the fact. People who are troubled within are a threat to those on the outside. Angry people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. We understand that. So when there's no peace with others, it's because there's no peace within. You have angry people in your family. You have people angry in your home. You have angry people in your community. It's because they have no peace within. But also we need to understand that the gospel will be and is a point of contention. Jesus said it himself in Matthew 24. But I also want you to look at this text, Jacob, if you show us a slide of Matthew 10, 34 through 38, where Jesus says, "Do not think that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Do we know this tension? We do, don't we? The gospel brings conflict. Paul told the Corinthians, you know, "What fellowship has light with darkness, or righteousness with lawlessness?" There is no partnership. There is no lawless, or there is no partnership. There is no fellowship there. And Jesus speaks here the fact that if we're going to follow Jesus, it's going to put us at odds against those or with those who are not following Jesus. And that will oftentimes be even those within our own family. Interesting time of year to be talking about this, isn't it? Family gatherings. It's supposed to be a season of joy. It's supposed to be a season of peace. There's conflict. We see several examples within our society. We see the Russia-Ukraine war, right? We see that conflict on that scale. We see the political division that's happening in our country where we are being extremely ripped apart. I was just reading this week how Dr. Ben Carson, a man who just a few years ago was lifted up as a hero, someone that we looked up to, his name is on a school in Michigan, and they're now trying to remove his name from that school. They're trying to shame him, cancel him, because he was associated with President Trump and the Republican Party. Crime rates. Do you feel safer when you go out these days? What's happening to our crime rates? I actually went out to try to find some numbers, and the numbers I found online said, oh, we're just as safe today as we've always been. I don't know about you, but I don't believe that. Religious persecution, conflict from religious persecution. You know, you've probably heard by now, Kirk Cameron wrote a book. My understanding, it's on the fruits of the Spirit. He's approached 50 libraries in order to have an hour of reading with those libraries, just like they give to other people who are promoting very liberal agendas. 50 libraries says you're not welcome here. They welcome all kinds of other perversity into the library to teach our kids. Kirk Cameron just wants to talk about a book about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But, Kirk, you're not welcome here. Do you see what is happening to our country? Do you see where you are on this trajectory? Your name's not Kirk, my name's not Kirk, but our day's coming, isn't it? Marital strife. We see conflict in our marriages. We see conflict in our family tension. And we see the result of all this conflict with broken hearts. You circle that, broken hearts, at the end of that list. I want to encourage you this morning, even though with the reality of the conflict around us, and the reality that there is no peace on earth, it seems, do not repay evil for evil, but on the contrary, bless. I want to challenge you, bless. Why? Because we've got a hold of a gospel that is conquering right now. This in part is what it means to take up our cross and follow Him. Not to meet evil with evil, but to bless. The third seal, verses 5 through 6. I'm called the abuse of authority or injustice. The abuse of authority or injustice. You find there at the end of verse 5, a black horse. And its rider had a pair of scales, a measuring instrument in his hand. He says, I heard what seemed to be a voice in the midst of the four living creatures, in the midst of the created order, saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius and three quarts of barley for a denarius. What you need to understand, a denarius is a day's wages. And a quart of wheat is considered to be one person's daily intake. So when the man is proclaiming a quart of wheat for a denarius, he's basically saying a day's wages for a day's intake. Well, you might ask, well, what's three quarts of barley? That's what was considered to be a daily intake for a family. So if you have a family, to feed a family, it's going to take it for one day, it's going to take a day's wages. Do you see what's happening here? Oh, meanwhile, don't harm the oil and the wine. Governments and economies are being undone by selfish ambitions. And again, I'm talking about this. This is not a new reality, by the way. This began when Jesus, I mean, actually began at the beginning. But really, you know, this spans time. This is what's happening in our world between His first coming, which we celebrate, and His coming yet to come, His second coming. These are realities. Governments, economies are being undone by selfish ambitions. It's happening all the time. It's happened throughout history. It's happening all around our world. What you and I have to understand is happening in our country right now. It's happening right now. We're being undone. You know, we can have relationships. Relationships are important. We talked about Seal 2, the undoing of society. Here in Seal 3, it's really the undoing of economy. Relationships are important, but so is having something to eat. Injustice threatens our survival. You think about injustice right now is threatening the future of our countries, threatening our survival. You do see that, right? It's happening all around us right now. James 3:16 says this, where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. When our leaders begin to operate out of jealousy and selfish ambition, what follows? Disorder in every vile practice. We're being undone. Consider what Jesus said again in Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8. He said, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. We talked earlier about the Russia-Ukrainian war. Why is Russia and Ukraine at war? Boils down to one man, doesn't it? A very powerful man with a very selfish ambition. But in his desire for more, just think about what this is doing for the survival of the Ukrainians, whose infrastructure has been destroyed, trying to endure a winter. They're just trying to survive. We've also read, it's been well documented, how the Ukraine also is a source of a lot of food in our world, right? Think about what the selfish ambition of one man is doing for the food supply in our world right now. It's a terrible injustice. Do you think he's struggling with what's in his cupboard right now? Can you imagine him saying, oh, don't harm my oil and my wine? I gave you several examples there. The Iran nuclear deal. As I was reading a little bit what's happening in Iran in terms of the revival, what is very interesting, again, we are concerned about Iran becoming being a nuclear power. And we've been imposing embargoes to try to barter, negotiate deals with them over their nuclear arms. But as we have imposed embargoes upon them, guess what that has done to the common person? It's caused the Iranians to be starved. Do you think the embargoes is impacting the leaders of Iran who have the oil and the wine? Do we see how the selfish ambition of one man desiring to have the nuclear weaponry bringing destruction upon his people? We talk about COVID mandates. Remember all the restrictions that was laid upon people? The governments or the businesses that were closed down? Remember the uproars of seeing people, the politicians who are imposing these restrictions upon us? Remember the pictures of them being partying, going on vacations with no masks? You see the injustice. Power-controlled media. There's all kinds of lies being exposed. We find out a couple years later, oh, that was a lie. And we catch people red-handed. Is there any consequences? Doesn't seem to be, does there? Inflation. Anybody been to the grocery store lately? We went to Meijer yesterday. Tasha grabbed the little cart. Little cart today, huh? I said, yeah, I don't think we're getting much. We go to the checkout. And I'm thinking, okay, that's, I don't know, that's probably about $100. No, I was off by 70. I can't even guess. what's in my cart anymore. I used to have a pretty good idea. Isn't it shocking? The middle class, which represents most, not all of us, is being shrunk. Our budgets are being tightened. But look at that last one. We have less earthly comfort today, don't we? Circle that one. Less earthly comfort. I want to encourage you in the midst of this to pray for those who are in positions of power. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says that we should pray for those who are in high positions. Why? That we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. We ought to be praying for our leaders. Regardless of how upset we are with them, regardless of how we may think they're imposing all kinds of injustice upon them, we must pray for them. How can we do that? Because we've got a hold of a gospel that we know is conquering. But also, some words really that I need to give credit to John Wesley. We should be a people who earn and save what we can so we can give what we can. I think that's how we love people in this kind of environment. We need to earn and save what we can so we can give what we can. I put Ephesians 4:28. That might be an interesting verse for you to think about in terms of loving one another. But in that, Ephesians 4:28 says, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him do honest work, honest labor, to labor with his own hands." Why? So that he may have something to give to someone in need. You know, we are thieves when we hoard what God has given us and we just keep it for ourselves. We too love one another when we do honest work, when we labor with our hands so that we may have something to share with those in need. The need is all around us. We just talked about the IMB and the Lottie Moon offering. There's needs there. Because these missionaries are out addressing this injustice. People living underneath the weight of this injustice around the world. The fourth seal, number four, the peril of death. The peril of death. Verse 8 says, "I looked and behold a pale horse." That word pale is actually within Roman literature refers to the color of a corpse. What an ugly horse, right? A pale corpse-like horse. Its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. They work in tandem. You know, death really is an event. Hades is a state. They were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with famine, pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. You know, fear, loss, mourning, grief is before us. It says they were given authority over the fourth of the earth. Aren't you glad that you're not dealing with death every day? I mean, at some level we are. I know yesterday was a pretty good day. I didn't think much about death yesterday. But are there not seasons that come into our lives? Or we are confronted with things like accidents, diseases, epidemic, hospital stays, loss of loved ones, nursing homes, funeral homes, cemeteries, confronted with inability to save. Death is a reality in our lives, is it not? Does that horse not ride? Praise God, it's limited. We don't deal with it every day. You think about it, you may be dealing with it about a fourth of your life. But be reminded what Jesus said in Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Fear not. Fear not. I am the first and the last, the living one. I died, behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and Hades. The riders who ride, Jesus holds their keys in his hand. I think we need to see the world for what it is. Can we not really boil down life to those four things? You could go to any place in the world and talk about, should be able to talk about, or at least have it applied. The gospel applies. Conflict is known. Injustice, at least at some level, is being experienced. And death is a reality. So I want us to respond to the world for what it is. Number one, recognize seals 2, 3, and 4 are universal judgments. Universal judgments. Conflict and justice and death are universal judgments. Again, they're found in every society on earth. And again, we look at the news, we see what's happening around us, and we know it's getting bad here. Understand, it's far worse in most other places. But what I'm finding is I think we're doing the best we can to catch up with those other places right now. What we have to understand, and what I, as your pastor who loves you, want you to understand, life is going to get hard. If you want to identify with Jesus, you want to follow Jesus in this world, in this decaying nation, life is going to get very hard. And you need to be prepared for it, and you need to understand that and not be shaken when the hardness comes. That's why it's important we talk about these things. Number two, understand such judgment comes through quote unquote riders who are allowed. They're allowed to promote evil, operate unjustly, and even kill. The one, the Lamb who holds the scroll in his hands, who's opened the seals, he allows these things to happen. In fact, it's how we experience judgment. We deserve judgment, don't we? Genesis 3 says we do. The rest of the Bible affirms it. God uses conflict, injustice, and death to bring judgment upon we who have refused to honor God as we should. Paul talks about this in Romans 1. You see the text there, how God gave them up. God gave them up to dishonorable passions, Romans 1:26. Romans 1:28, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Like take peace from earth, like incur or cause injustice. But what I want us to understand this morning is to know that judgment can have a redeeming effect. A redeeming effect. I have a Christianity Today article. Front page says, the biggest threat to Christian vitality is not persecution, affluence, education, or pluralism. It's state support. You ever think about that? Studies that have been done states that the context of anti-Christian discrimination do not generally have the effect of weakening Christianity. In some cases, persecution even strengthens the church. We're seeing that right now in Iran, yes? In Afghanistan? In China? And don't we see the opposite effect where we have been so blessed in our country that we become very weak and frail as Christians? Persecution, hard times, things like conflict and injustice does not allow Christians to become complacent. When these things happen, we recognize that we must step up and we must lean into Christ. Believers turn to their faith as a source of strength. And as we turn to our faith, our devotion attracts those outside our faith. I mean, look again at the green words that you circled, how conflicts causes broken hearts. What do you do when your heart is broken? I hope you turn to the Lord. How seal 3 with injustice, it really leads to us having less earthly comfort as our what we think is our rights and what we deserve are being undermined. What do we do with less earthly comfort? I hope you're turning to the Lord and not to the world. And finally, in seal 4, the last one, with the inability to save, I hope that causes you to turn to the one who does save. We talked about Iran. You know that Open Doors ranks as the 8th worst place in the world to be a Christian? The 8th worst place in the world to be a Christian is where the church is growing the fastest. Remember Afghanistan? Afghanistan is the 2nd worst place in the world to be a Christian. And it's the 2nd fastest growing church in the world today. The gospel's riding. And it's going out and it's conquering. And oftentimes it comes through persecution. Some are estimating that in 2030, China, you know, China, evil China, the China that scares us, the China, right, that maybe we need to build up our military to address. By 2030, China will have more Christians than any other country. By 2050, some think that half of China could be Christians. You want to change a country? You want to ring a country in? Don't send your military. Send your missionaries. The gospel conquers. The gospel conquers. Number 3, be assured, behind every troubling headline, the one who has conquered is limiting the reach of evil. We see the headlines, we can be troubled by them. We wonder how far evil is going to go. Understand, the one who has conquered, the one who holds the scroll, the one who's taken off the seals and opening them, has limited the reach of evil. And understand that we should be praising God that things are not as bad as they could be. We deserve to die in Genesis 3. We all deserve to face death. So when you open up the news, 7:30 this morning, Fox News, hot topics of the day. Brittany Griner, hot topic. Now that kind of probably stirs some emotions. The Twitter files. What about the Idaho murderers? Conflict. Injustice. Death. Oh, top article. Hunter Biden. With the question, why did they lie? Then you have a sheriff threatens anyone who helps a new effort to stop migrant crossings. Did anybody here have an opinion on the border? Twitter files reveal Trump ban after Michelle Obama demanded removal. Oh, here's a family feud. I'll just say the word Megan. Megan's half-siblings speak out about disturbing claim in documentary. Oh, Russian arms dealer swapped for Griner praises the Ukraine invasion and wants to join the fight. Why do we have to talk about the news in church, right? Do you understand? The news is a spiritual topic. The Lord holds these things in His hands. To be fair, MSNBC. Elon Musk's Twitter files tweets revealed a major problem. but not with Twitter. It sure looks like Elon Musk is purging left-wing Twitter users. That's alarming. Sandy Hook families push for change decade after shooting. Conflict. Injustice. Death. Realities, are they not? I'm going to have to read on this one. Dozens of Republicans just broke with the Christian right on gay marriage. And then the last one I'll highlight. Trump said he didn't pay taxes because he's smart. A jury might feel otherwise. What should we do when we see news like that? We should not disconnect it from the Bible. We should not disconnect it from what God is doing in our world. There's several things here I want you to think about. When we are confronted with conflict and justice and even death, A, consider the evil that lies within us. That lies within us. We're made of the same stuff. Putin is being Putin because Putin has been given power to exercise and to employ his selfish ambitions. I wonder what happened to us if either today or in our past we were empowered to carry out what we really wanted to do. Do you see how someone like Putin, do you see how someone like the leaders of Iran really expose the sinfulness of man? They expose us. We should consider the evil that lies within all of us. Why would we not be judged? Letter B, we should mourn. Mourn what we have done. And mourn what we continue to do to one another. We're destroying our families. We're destroying our society. We're destroying a nation. We're destroying a world. God's world. He created it. Remember Revelation 4. Letter C, we need to turn to the Lord for salvation and help. Turn to the Lord for salvation and help. When we see the headlines, don't let it become a source of frustration for you that you don't know what to do with. I'll tell you what to do with it. Turn to the Lord with it for salvation and help. And letter D, loosen your grip on this world as you long for home. Do you see how judgment has a redeeming effect? Do you see how judgment can pry open our fingers on this world and help us to see, this world is not really what I want? There's surely something more, is there not? And number five, bear witness. Bear witness to the good news in the face of judgment. There's a rider on a horse sent out to conquer and is conquering. He's invited us to join him. He told us again in Matthew 24:14, this gospel, the kingdom, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. What is our commission? Go, therefore, into all the world and make disciples. The gospel conquers. Let's pray. This morning, even before we press on into the next item on our agenda, and as we sing a song very relevant to what we've just been talking about, I want you to wrestle with the frustrations that maybe you carried in this morning of what is happening in our world. And I want to encourage you to look at your world, look at our world with spiritual eyes. And recognize we live in a spiritual world. I want you to be encouraged this morning. Praise God. And I just want you to take a few moments and just praise God for the gospel. The conquering gospel that is going out into all the world. And I pray you have embraced this morning. Can you praise Him for that gospel? This morning, if you are unsettled, if you're lacking peace, and you're troubled, I want to encourage you to turn to the gospel. Turn to the gospel. And I want to ask you a question this morning. I'm not going to ask if you have accepted God, but I'm going to ask you this morning, has God accepted you? Because apart from trusting in Jesus Christ in terms of what He has done for you, apart from trusting your and placing your salvation and your hope within Jesus Christ, apart from that, you are not acceptable to God. I am not acceptable to God. It's only when we are clothed in the work of Jesus Christ can we stand before our Creator. Can you surrender to that gospel? Can you surrender to the work that Christ has done for you? Those with broken hearts, can you turn to the Lord for strength and for comfort? Those who are shaken by insecurity today, can you recognize that we have full security in Jesus? There is no security in this world. To be shaken by its insecurity is to really have our eyes open to what is true, that we may turn to Jesus and find our hope in Him. It is from Him from where our help comes. And this morning, when you recognize that you cannot save yourself, may we turn to Jesus Christ, who is worthy, who has saved us. Father, I pray, even as we read the headlines, even as we hear the news, may we see Jesus, the Lamb, holding the scroll in His hands, breaking the seals, unraveling history as He unfolds Your purpose. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.